The family of God. Here's something interesting. The first institution that God set into motion was the family. Home. The home. The family. And God set it all in motion. Now, when we read Scripture, we will see where He set it in motion. But so often we don't think back prior to any such thing as time, that God had decided before anything existed. God had decided that the family would be His structure. For generations who would seek His word, His truth, and His love, He said, this is the way you're going to do it. You're going to do it with the family. And has when He instituted the family, look at it with me, Genesis 2, verse 18. The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Says nothing there about women being slaves. Said nothing there about the power and all of this stuff of one or the other. A helpmate. Helping us. Side by side. Not one in front, one behind. Side by side. God says, I love you all. I've created you. But I realize that it is not good for man to be alone. Out of all my years in the prison system, as chaplain, I realize that the most devastating punishment that could be given to anyone was isolation, solitary. We're going to put you in this room, and when we put you in this room, you're going to be alone. Those who've been in combat and caught as prisoners of war would know that they would be kept separated for a period of time, but only enough time to be brought back in and see what they're missing. Because, folks, I can tell you, during that separation time, it is torture for those in any combat situation. Not just the physical, but the mental, the psychological, and folks, spiritual. The survivors have always been those who saw greater than what was their circumstances. They saw beyond what they could see. They heard the voice of the one who watches after them. The Christian could always communicate with God the Father. They could not take that away. The world cannot reach into your spirit and take away your relationship as a child of God. He's my Father. And as the young kids would say, you don't mess with my daddy. You don't mess with me because I'll tell my daddy on you. And there's an age that baby Grayson grows over there, Owen and all of our other babies. Dads, moms, you can do no wrong. And then the time will come because as we grow, we battle life. And sometimes those battles overflow into the family. But let me tell you something. Because you have a family, you can find refuge. Parents, dads, listen. That child of yours must understand when they get home and they walk through that door, they shut that door, they can say, whew, I'm safe. Christian, listen to me. When all hell comes against you in this world, and you go to the family of God, you go to your Savior, to your Father who is in heaven, and you shut that door. Phew, I'm home. God says, come on home. You come to me, for I am your Father. I will protect you. I will surround you. And all the time he's telling us this, he's saying, now, you be in prayer for those who are trying to kill you. That's very difficult for us in the human condition. And it took me years before I even got a glimpse of what a statement that was. Forgive your enemy. Pray for those who tried to harm you, misuse you. Because God says they don't have a chance. When you get home, talk to me. It's the family of God. You can kill this body, but you cannot kill my relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot kill the love that he's placed in my heart. I am a father. I've been mightily blessed. Blessed with a beautiful wife of 50 years, a tremendous son and an outstanding grandson, and all my hair's gone. It's a blessing, folks. Family, isn't it? And then when we lose one member, it hurts us. Oh, I know they're in heaven, but they're not here with me now. I know I'll see them later, but I don't see them now. Lord, have mercy. And then something is greatly revealed to us. It's called memory. It's amazing how God can settle in to families and give you the memories of the good times over the bad. Memories of love. Memories at some point where there was peace. Memories of brokenness to where God puts back together. He said, I'm the one establishing the home and the family. I love you folks with all my heart. But let me tell you from my heart as your pastor, as a friend, as someone who truly cares. You cannot be blessed outside the bonds of the marriage of a man and a woman. As a Christian, that means something to us. I cannot help what the world does. As I will tell folks, listen, the world is out here and they're in a mess. And if men are marrying men and women marrying women, I have no control or say. But I do have when it comes to Christians. Those who are not in Christ, gosh, folks, that's the least of their problems. They are eternally damned without the name of Jesus Christ, period. Amen. That's why it breaks my heart. My heart breaks for those I can see and tell, and as they tell me, I don't want anything to do with your God. I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. I don't need your help. You're right, you need God's help. But you and I understand it's all in the family. God said, I'll forgive you. All you got to do is ask me. All you have to do is repent, saying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And it's over. You don't have to count anything. You don't have to get up and down so many times. You don't have, folks, some of us can't even get down and get back up. Very good. The Lord says, I want to hear your heart at the foot of the cross. And in that heart says, forgive me. The Lord said, okay, it's over. You're mine. I don't see anything difficult in that except our battle within our own mind of rejecting Christ and rejecting the truth of life. The only life I have to look forward to is the life in front of me. I cannot change anything behind me any more than you can. But you see, I know that we will never, ever die. And yet those who are not a part of the family of God, the Scripture says, offer them the opportunity. Offer them the opportunity. I myself will convict them. A lot of difference between eternal life and eternally dying, but never able to die. Think of that. It is the Father, the Mother's responsibility to make certain that our children hear the saving word of Jesus Christ. Loving my family can only come about through the power of the loving God who lives within us. Dad, it's not going to always be popular. Majority of the time won't be popular. But listen, moms and dads, would you two quit, please, arguing with each other in front of the kids? There's enough going on in this world. The world waits for them on the outside. Can we not truly love through the love that Christ has given us? We got to get over this stuff of self, 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 and get to everybody else. Genesis 2:24. Now listen to me. For those of you who are tied down to your mother's apron strings or whatever, well, let me read it. Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The greatest cause of separation in our nation is due to in-laws. It is due to families not acting as a Christian family. I'm to leave my father and my mother and cleave to my wife. Doesn't mean I desert them. Doesn't mean I don't love them. But it does mean they have no say in my family. God says, I am your father. Larry, most of you know my dad died when I was 5 years old. He died in June. I would have been 6 in October. 4 years, there was not a man in my home. Then my stepfather. And let me tell you, he was one great man. He had to put up with 3 boys that my mother had. Great man. Then he died. The power of that male figure and the female, the mom. Folks, you cannot be happy and find peace when you try to change the rules of life that God has said. He says, I love you, but you cannot endorse it. You have no right to endorse it. But you are required to love those who are caught up in it. And love them with a heart so deep you weep and you pray. I don't understand it. I just don't. Other than evil. A lot of good Christians have gotten caught up into this, folks. What's a good Christian? An individual that's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. Because do you know that every one of us mess up? You caught that, didn't you? And the Lord said, I want you to set aside as a family unit, and here's what I want you to do, and He's given us a whole guideline to follow. Have you ever noticed that when we get off His guideline, it's when we get in a mess? When God sends us a message, it's not mixed. There are no mixed messages from God our Father. Thus saith the Lord thy God, this is it. Now, you can beat around it all you want, folks. Get mad at your pastor all you want. But one thing I promise you, as long as I stand in this pulpit, I will preach God's word, because I know without His truth and His word in our hearts, you and I will find no peace at all. I want you to have the peace. But I know you cannot have the peace in the world. The world does not love us. The world hates your children. The world hates the young folk who mention Christ. The world wants to say, oh, come on, don't judge me. I don't. Paul said, I can't even judge myself, because the judge is Christ. But here's one thing I know without that judgment. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It says, I just love you, Larry, but you stand and give them the warning. Listen to this. The breakdown of the home, folks, is the sign of the end times. I told you the end of the age, according to God's holy word, began when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That began it. All the way up to the what we call the end times, the end of the age. He said, the time starts now of the end. And then he says, parents, families, watch. Let me show you what's happened. Nobody wants to read history, because we don't want to look back at the nastiness of slavery and all the other. Folks, it is nasty. War is hell. It is vulgar. Slavery is wrong under any circumstance. But God says you're going to be seeing it. Why? 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Listen well to it. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. I want you to pay close attention and see if you recognize anything. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Oh, let me read that again. Disobedient to their parents. Are you seeing this? These are the statements of what is evil. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. If it feels good, do it. Well, it's not going to feel that good for very long, folks. Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And listen to this. You know what he's talking about? You know who he's talking to? It's in a letter to Timothy. He's talking to the church. God had given a message to the Apostle Paul. Tell the church this. I'm looking. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And then he says, have nothing to do with them. Okay. God said, you see this kind of people over here? He did not tell me not to love them and care for them. My 30-some years of life, of ministry, dealt with the criminal personality. He didn't say not love them and care for them. What he said was, tell them the truth. If you love them, you'll tell them the truth. Dad, if you love your children like you say you will, then tell them about Jesus. And tell them the truth. And don't say, oh, it's okay because I want to be your friend. Your children have enough friends. They need a father. They need a mother. They need a family unit and a structure that stands strong for the holy word of God. And without it, you not only do a disservice to our children, it is direct sin against God. And God said, when the end does come, judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. Whew. Jesus says, when I'm coming, hey Larry, I'm going to be walking right down the aisle of Vine Grove Baptist Church. I'm not going to be looking at people. I'm going to be looking at their heart. I'm not going to be trying to talk someone into anything. For at that point, wherever the tree has been cut, it shall lie. When I came the first time, Jesus said, I came as a suffering servant. I came because I love you. I came because the sin in your life was not your fault. Because of your human condition, you were born into sin. I came to tell you the truth, and in the middle of the truth, I want you to know that I love you, and I have a place for you right beside of me. I want you to be with me. I want you to understand there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more hurting, there'll be no more tears. Anything that hurts will never hurt again. You're part of my family, Jesus says. I came to tell you my story. I came to suffer and to die for you. I did it for you. I did it because I love you. But folks, please listen to me well. You cannot read the Holy Scriptures without understanding that the end time is in where we are living today. The end beginning started 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Interesting how things in Scripture seem to go through the millenniums. 2,000 years. Huh. But you know what he said? Now I want you preachers to preach. I want you teachers to teach. I want you to parents, you parents to parent. I want you to tell the world I'm coming back. My story is there. Read it to them. Share it with them. I came in love. I came in peace. I gave all that I am. For you. But I am coming back. But this time, I will not come back the way I came the first time. For when I come again, I will repay evil for that evil. I'm coming back as reigning king. Judgment day. What did you do with my love? Did you disrespect the blood that I shed for you? What was it I did so wrong when I raised the dead and called the blind to see and the lame to walk? Where was the sin in that that would turn you against me? But he said, it's too late then, because judgment has come to the house of God. Do you know who the eyewitness to our judgment is? You. Every idle word is registered. Folks, I have so many words out there that were idle and foolish. They got covered in the blood. You see, Christians cannot be judged. I cannot see the wrath of God upon myself. It can't happen. Because I said yes to Jesus, I believe. And yes, I'm a mess. I still am. I'll go out of this life a mess, folks. But I'll go out of this life with Jesus. his chow, his mess. When you have a child that goes wild, they're still your child, aren't they? But church, you hear me well. The time has come. We must stand up with love, stand with dignity, and we cannot back off on what Christ has said and commanded for us so we can have peace. For if we do, Christian, you're still a family. You're going to be in heaven. But what a feeling. Jesus says, I'm leaving you. Didn't you know what else he said? All the things you have seen me do, you can do. All of them. I think that's pretty amazing, isn't it? All you need is a faith as a grain of mustard seed. And watch me work. And we dare to condemn his work. He loves me anyway. He loves you. We are who we are. And he will always be who he is. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you. You are our Heavenly Father. Oh, give us courage, Father, to stand strong for your truth. Help us, Father, to proclaim loud and clear your message, your warnings, your hope, your love. Help us, Father, for it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.